Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. I want to welcome you to the next phase with Ice and Friends. And as always, we'll introduce the show. We'll start the show off by giving our brief little disclaimer and a little small description of the show. Comments and views and or opinions expressed during this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of Blog Talk Radio, the sponsors, or the host, or the guests necessarily. The Next Phase Radio show is to address community concerns, which include developing ways members in the community and our communities can increase their ability to acquire more income for themselves. In addition, members will also learn various methods of gaining political strength and relevance. If you have any interest, have an interest in improving your situation, the situations of our youth, stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact on this society, or investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge of improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include, join us on the next phase with Ice and Friends. There will be musical segments from time to time, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. And speaking of guests, if my guests will go ahead and give me a call through at 347-945-7040. I'm expecting calls in, and we're going to discuss some issues regarding Veterans Affairs. And we have Vicky, better known as Panadia, for those of us who have shared the same internet chat sites and so forth in the past several years. And we'll have also Michael Francis. He's in NYC, and he has a tremendous amount of information, and information and direction. There's Vicky right there. Can you hear me, Vicky?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful! Glad you called through. Now I'm looking for Michael. Anyway, Michael has a tremendous amount of information in regard to some issues where veterans may or may not be getting everything that they rightfully deserve after having served our country. And this Vicky brought this issue to me several weeks ago. And she introduced me to Michael, and we had several conversations on the phone. And I was really impressed. And Vicky, do you have anything that you'd like to share at this time while we wait for Michael to call through?
I just appreciate the opportunity that you're giving pretty much Michael to share his experience with this, and I'm in great hopes that if just one person that is listening is affected by this in a positive way, that will happen, that possibly one of their loved ones could reap some benefits behind what they hear this evening. So I'm really looking forward to Michael coming on and sharing some information.
Right, and I think, you know, I don't know if you have your volume turned down on your PC, but if you don't, you'll be experiencing some conflict. You'll hear some lag, and so you might want to turn your volume down. And I want to welcome guest 2734 to the room. Thank you for dropping in. And now, Vicky, you were the reason that you had an interest in it, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll just briefly touch on that. Hopefully, Michael will give us a call through here in a little bit. But was that you? Am I correct that you are the daughter of a vet?
I am. My dad was served in World War II.
Okay.
So I'm trying to tell him my age there as well.
Not really.
Well, okay. He served in World War II.
Hold on, baby. Let me see if I can get Mike in right quick.
I'm on. I'm so sorry to be late. I was making some of my special barbecue sauce, and I got lost in the process. I'm sorry.
Hey, there is no problem at all. Michael, let me let Vicky finish, and she's giving me my script, and I'll do my little script, and I'll get out of the way. But, hey, welcome, and thanks so much for calling through, Mike. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Vicki, you want to finish what you were saying?
Yes. The thing that got me interested in this was every day when I ride to work, I listen to Tom Joyner. And their topic for the day, I couldn't tell you what it was, but they had a caller that called in, and the caller totally shut the show down for about 10 minutes. For some reason, he started sharing his personal life, and he shared that he was a Vietnam vet and that his benefits were only $230. At that point, the show shut down, and what I mean by that is that whatever their topic was, they left that. And they were very concerned about this caller who said his benefits for serving the United States in war was only $230. Later that evening, I had shared this information with Michael. And from that point on, Michael went on to say that he too was getting that amount of benefits. And maybe Michael at this time will go ahead and maybe share a little bit of his journey with getting his benefits increased.
Well, you know, I was struck by your willingness to, first of all, do this kind of show, because a lot of people, you know, and I got to applaud both Vicki and Zern, a lot of people are not really concerned about what veterans go through. My personal story is I got hurt in Vietnam. When I got out of the service, what they did was assign you a percentage. Unbeknownst to me, until years later, that percentage was told to me that I, in both knees that I got hurt, it was 10% per knee. That's what constituted the $230 that gentleman was getting. Mm-hmm. But what most people, or most veterans don't know, anybody that served in wartime are entitled to compensation. Especially if you're at a certain age, you're entitled to benefits and compensation, which should cover somewhere in the vicinity of getting you close to 30%, 30 to 50%. If you have any other things that complications that have occurred in your life while you were in service, after service, but they were attributed to service, mm-hmm. then you're privy to go get a primary care doctor and increase your benefits. And talking to Vicki, you know, I told her that I was working on my paperwork at that point, mm-hmm. And that I had spoken to a gentleman that I was very much aware of years ago, but I did not take advantage of going to see him. So that was lax on my part, you know. Mm-hmm. And I assume a lot of, you know, veterans, especially after I've gotten into the system now, they have said the same thing. Their journey has become lax because they don't think anyone in the VA cares, you know, or the questions that they ask them lead them to believe that they don't care, or the short answers that they get and no elaboration also leads them to believe that, okay, we can't get anything done through this system, so we better just go on our own and do the best we can, you know.
Right, right. And that's you know, after and I'm not a vet, but my life was tremendously influenced by a vet. Well, several vets. I have a couple uncles, one uncle who retired Marine Corps, one who served in Vietnam, and my stepdad who I think he served 20 years. I think he retired Air Force. And that man was my stepdad was the most influential male in my life. And I'm sure that he could have benefited from the information that you have, because, you know, and it's a sad shame that that information isn't readily available. And mm-hmm. and I mean, I'm just tremendously grateful to you and all those who served. And because you that's tremendous. Because you know, a lot of people get angry with some of the engagements that we've been involved in, but they don't realize that y'all don't have any determination as to what your service will be. It's administrative policies that makes the determination how you'll serve.
No, we're usually set where we're told to go.
Right. But you know, yet and still, whatever the reason is, you know, and this is the thing that really disturbs me, is that, you know, it's one thing for me to sit here safe and sound and make any kind of comment in regard to what you have done actually in putting your life on the line. And because you were doing what you were, you know, told to do. And, you know, people act as if, you know, you should not do this. I don't care. You know, if you did what you were asked to do by the leadership in these United States who were duly elected, and if you don't like the way that policy is being employed, then you need to get involved with the voting process and change it, you know. But when a military person is involved based on what administrative policy is determined, then you deserve every ounce of benefit. And one of the things that got me also interested was that Vicky suggested that there were families who actually suffer because the individuals that were involved in the military had no idea, weren't apprised of the information that you were referring to that allowed you to improve your financial condition, I'm sure it's more than just financial. You mentioned the health wise, I think. So if you would,
yeah. Well, you know, forgive me for interrupting you. You know, one of the things in making your journey, I should say, or, you know, you're maneuvering through the system, is you need to know. I took a gentleman, after learning what I had to learn, a family member called me, so they now know how involved I am. And what took me 2 months, I was able to do for this gentleman in one day.
Okay? Wow.
One day. What took me 2 months of maneuvering and asking questions and getting down to the nitty-gritty of things, you know, this gentleman was able to maneuver because I then knew how.
Right.
What direction to point him, which procedure was first, you know, and then
right.
I took him to my man, you know.
Right.
I call him my man because he's my leader and CEO of our, you know, organization outside of the VA. But
that's
this
fair,
gentleman
right.
now is en route to getting benefits,
mm-hmm.
and he's 63 years old.
Wow.
Okay? And
yeah.
he,
mm-hmm.
you know, had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like I spoke to Vicky about, you know, there was a gentleman 80 years old 2 weeks ago. I'm sitting in, well, they're giving me a partial office now because I'm so involved. But I was sitting in the office, and this gentleman called in about this 80-year-old man who was eating soup every other day when his daughter could manage to get it to him. And he...
Michael, will you take a minute, and I hope we can do this too
mm-hmm.
during at the end of the show, and just give some information where people can find information on their own on the Internet, where you're located, if there's a site where people can go to and get some information. And one of the things that you had shared with me that was most impressive was the hopefully the gentleman whose information you're going to give was how dedicated he was to serving, that this man often takes his work home where these calls are coming to his house. And on occasions, people are visiting him at his house. And one of the other things that you had stressed was that he trains people how to fill out these forms, because often that is the holdup with the language, the verbiage that is used in filling out these forms. So he trains people how to do this appropriately. So could you just take a minute and
there's a gentleman by the name of Mr. Barry Campbell. He works out of the 23rd Street office of the VA in New York, New York. He's well known throughout that hospital as well as through the system. He has started an outside organization, and for your listeners, they can go to www.Veterans Quality of Life Access Network. We call it VQLAN Network, right?
.org.
He started Veterans Quality of Life, I think, in 1997, 99. He's been working for the VA himself about 32 years now. He is what's called a claims and benefits coordinator. His slogan is, "I'm here to help those that have been forgotten."
Wow.
That's the slogan of Veterans Quality of Life. The forgotten ones, okay? Barry is a very determined individual. He's helped thousands and thousands of veterans. I can't even tell you. There's testimonies to his life story. If you just go on to that website, you know, Veterans Quality of Life Access Network, you will see some of the testimonies. You'll see some of what we're doing. Not only is he
Michael,
helping,
if I may, one of the biggest things that you have shared with me that is a huge testimony of the type of person he is and what he is trying to do for vets is you have shared with me what his office looks like in regards to people sitting there waiting hours because they know this man gets results.
Yeah,
there's
it's
not
pretty
too
discouraging.
Many places.
Yeah.
No, it's encouraging that this man is that determined to help people, and they know his reputation, and that they're willing to wait. There's not too many of us that go any place and we're willing to sit there and wait indefinitely.
Even
a doctor's office. I mean, there's not too many people that are willing to wait hours to see a doctor unless it's an emergency.
That's true.
You know, so this man is, his reputation precedes him. And people are willing to sit and wait until they can get a visit with him. Not anyone else, but him personally.
Him personally. And I'm gonna tell you something that, you know, that I've never shared with you. In his office, that is not his job. That is not his job. He's supposed to give out information on how to get claims and benefits. Instead, he sits there and does your paperwork, questions you, and he takes every individual, and I would say it's a process of about 45 minutes to an hour. So, you know, I was at his house one day, and I asked his wife, I said, "Have you ever been to his office? Because the man never gets to take lunch. I sometimes have to pull him out of there because he's so dedicated to helping veterans."
Right.
So, you know, his bosses want him to take lunch. And he's not supposed to be doing this work in that office.
Let me do this right quick, Mike. Just hold that thought. Don't let go, okay? If you want to give us a call here at ICE and Friends, the next phase, 347-945-7040. Tonight, what we're discussing with Michael Francis about the veterans VQLAN, www.vqlan.com. www.thefreedomfighters.org if you want to get some information about it. And what we're discussing is veterans' benefits. Am I right, Michael?
Correct.
And you gave me some other information that I wrote down, and I'd have to pull that back up out of my notebook, but because I never get anything. I'm so disorganized. But, you know, Vicky Panadia, I always say Panadia. But anyway, Panadia is the lady that introduced me to Michael. And Michael was talking about Mr. Barry Campbell, who is what did you call him, Michael, an advisor?
Benefits and Claims Coordinator.
Benefits and Claims Coordinator for the Veterans Administration. And not only does he provide you with information, he assists you in being able to process that information to the extent that he'll sit there and help you fill out your paperwork personally. And if
Correct.
You have a friend or family member, or if you know anyone, regardless to how you, if you listen to this show, just give, take a look at VQ, www.vqlan.org. And once again, if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 347-945-7040. Michael and Vicky, I'm sorry to interrupt, and I'll go back quiet and let y'all finish.
That's okay. I'd like to ask Michael a question. Tell me how this could have changed the lives of your children had you been aware of all of these benefits.
Well, I have two children. I'm a Vietnam vet, like I said. Each war, they give you a benefits book every year, and each war has stipulations on what they will that veteran is entitled to. My children, you know, could have gone to college with a stipend every month. That's one of the things, okay? A stipend every month until they were, from the time they entered college to up until the age of 23. The government was willing to pay that. This is something I was not privy to because I wasn't in there.
Wow. Let me reinforce that, reiterate. A stipend until the age of 23.
Correct.
Is that what you said?
From the time they enter college up until the age of 23. A monthly stipend.
I'm sorry.
They were entitled to a monthly stipend.
Isn't that something?
I'd like to add to that, if I may. Like I said, my dad was a vet of World War II, and he passed away when I was quite young. And I was 15, and I had three brothers that were younger than I. One was older. And upon his death, my mother was entitled to receive benefits, a check, and I'll even share the amount. It was $89 for each one of us every month, okay? And as each one of us became of age, then that money never changed for my mother, okay? The $89 that she got from my older brother was divided amongst the four of us that was still at home. When I became of age, the $89 that my brother and myself got was divided amongst the other three, all the way down to the last one that was at home. So that income never changed for my mother, ever.
Yep.
Because that was one of the benefits. And I'm going to tell you something, that my mother never knew that. And the only way that she knew that was when my father passed, the funeral home owner shared that information with her. No one else had told her that.
Uh-huh.
And had he
your
not
father
shared
probably,
that with her.
No. Your father probably didn't know.
Well, I don't know that positively. I just know that at least that's what my mom said, was that's who informed her that those benefits were available to her at that point, because the VA also helped contribute with his funeral arrangements. Okay.
Yes.
Now, mind you, I'm a teenager, so I'm not asking a whole lot of financial questions about my dad's death. That was not important to me. But you know, as they're coming of age, then, you know, those are some of the things that my mom shared with me was that, you know, your dad was able to still help after he passed.
Mm-hmm.
So there are huge benefits that people just need to know that they are entitled to just because they are a family member
right.
of a vet. And a okay. lot of that is never shared. I'm sure that no one from the VA would have contacted my mother and said, by the way, you're missing out on these benefits.
Exactly.
You know, that was not going to happen. You know, just like in your case, Michael, that no one sent you a letter or give you a phone call saying, hey, did you know that you're missing out on some benefits that your children are entitled? They're not going to do that.
Nope.
And these are the things that I think are the important things to do this show, because, again, if one person can benefit, it's going to be huge.
Well, what I would suggest is, sorry to interrupt you, if anybody out there knows a veteran or is affiliated with a veteran,
yes.
after this show, there's a handbook given out once a year, and it's mm-hmm. constantly upgraded every year. They need to point that veteran or that veteran's family member, if that person is too elderly at this point, in the direction of the VA. Let them get a hold of that handbook, because in there, all the benefits are categorized, and they need to be up on these things. Now, like I told you earlier, there was a guy 80 years old, you know, and this man, you know, he's surely entitled to compensation at this, a pension and compensation at this late date, you know, and they're working on it. You know, we're working on it. He will get it, but it's going to take him time now when he could have had it a year ago, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, you know.
Right. And
you know what, Michael, you had shared a story with me the other day, and honestly, I hadn't even thought about the full benefits until you said this. Even though you and I have talked about the benefits that my nephew and his wife, who's in the military, mm-hmm. were entitled to, but the age of the young man that you were talking to, so we're talking about current servicemen
oh, yeah.
that are serving us today, that are leaving
oh, yeah.
the military for whatever reason, are entitled to benefits. And those benefits vary according to how they served, whether
Correct.
They served on U.S. grounds, whether they served on, whether they served overseas. Those benefits change. So, if you could just hit on some of those benefits that people are entitled to in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
overseas, if they've seen war, because those benefits vary.
Well, that's the hard part to hit on, how they vary, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because people are being serving all over the place, okay? So I would just generalize and say that these are war conditions, number one. All right?
Okay.
A guy that's overseas, leaves the United States and goes overseas to Italy or Germany and a place like that, you know, and like we talked about earlier, he's receiving a casualty from Iraq or Afghanistan. You know, what they've been doing is setting up classes. Right now, they have workshops and classes attributed to something called PTSD. Now, when I came through in
Tell
Vietnam.
Tell us what that is.
PTSD is post-traumatic syndrome.
Okay.
Okay? It's post-traumatic syndrome.
Okay.
All right? And when I came through Vietnam, like it's been explained to me and others, they did not know what this was all about. Now they have a handle on it. Well, now they have a million claims or over a million claims, according to 60 Minutes 4 months ago. You have more workshops attributed to post-traumatic syndrome. Just last week, I called you. I told you about sleep apnea. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the middle of the day, I just got information. Any veteran that has been in war conditions, you know, they have suffering sleep apnea. Now the VA is paying out claims attributed to that. This thing has climbed because you're taking a young boy or young girl leaving home, jovial in spirit, and they're going into wartime conditions. They're not ever going to come back the same as when they left.
Absolutely.
So now a lot of them are lacking sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them are up weird hours that they would not normally be up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them can't function on jobs. You know,
right.
They find it hard. So, you know, that's why I say it's different in every category. It depends on the job that you're doing in the service. It depends on where you are serving.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they have to, you know, determine what your compensation is going to be in the long run if you choose to apply for it. A lot of people function under normal conditions. They make it lay dormant. I know what I saw and what I suffered through lay dormant in me for about 30 years.
Wow.
I didn't even address it. Why? Because, well, you know the business I'm in, Vicki. You know, I was more, my brain was more in tune when I came out of Vietnam to getting out of service and getting to my business, getting to college, getting through all those things.
I've known Michael for 12 years now, and it wasn't until maybe 5 to 6 years ago that Michael shared any of his experiences while in Vietnam, experiences.
Wow.
And just listening to him, I could hear the flashing back to those moments that he was sharing with me. So I definitely you're saying, that these men go through a lot just in being in the military. It's a life changer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you see combat or not.
And this is not to discourage anybody from going into the military, because I happen to love the military.
Right.
Not to discourage
them
from it.
Right, right. No.
You know, this, like I told y'all, you know, this is the biggest game America has to offer.
Right.
You know, it's significant, and a lot of good comes out of it. It's protection for this country. It's all those good things. But once you are in the military, you become a different person by virtue of the job that you do. Some people are plumbers. Some people are snipers.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Choose.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
So,
you know, let me interrupt just for a second and say this. You know, when you, to my idea, there are already a tremendous amounts of tension and strain and stress on different people coming from different backgrounds and different environments and so forth.
Uh-huh.
Then when you add a exponential increase, who knows to what degree it's multiplied and intensified and amplified with the introduction into a military life or death situation. And I would assume, just, you know, from listening, that most people feel as though that, you know, they don't want to complain. They don't want to, you know, be a squeaky wheel. You know, they can handle it by themselves. And all the time, there is help available, and they are suffering to some degree deterioration. And also, their family is struggling and suffering the same travesties and unfortunate circumstances and situations that they're suffering, and they aren't being compensated fairly and equitably. And so that's what I appreciate so much about your stepping forward with this information. And I can only hope that it'll get, you know, put out there so that someone can grasp it and benefit from it. And let me reiterate that the number to call if you want to get in and ask a question of Michael Francis about, and the site is www.vqlan.org, and you can check it out and see what do you think about it. If you think it's not legit, check it out and you'll see. Mm-hmm. And the number to call here at Blog Talk Radio is 347-945-7040. And you can get in on the conversation if you have any information. We'll check back on the switchboard. I'm having some problems with Christy. Thank you so much for coming in. Ah, there's Black Magic Woman. She made it. Welcome. And Christy, thank you for coming in. She's Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what you call it, but she's an assistant or administrator or whatever, and she assists us. And we've been having some problems, I think, with people getting in the room. And finally, Black Magic Woman made it in. Now I will get back out of the way again, but again, I just want to make this number plain, 347-945-7040, and talk with Michael Francis and talk with Vicky Panadia in regard to veterans. I always lose that. Y'all have to straighten
veterans
it out.
Veterans quality of life.
Veterans quality of life issue.
Veterans quality of life, that's what we call it.
And they can be improved, that quality of life, by different procedures and methods. And you have someone, Mr. Barry Campbell, who's more than willing to assist. And also Michael and Vicky about the training aspect of it. And I'll pass the mic.
Okay. Michael, will you share some of the benefits that you have received that have been most shocking to you? and they might sound like very small things to the listeners, but they're huge. I mean, if the listeners recall just what you shared about the 80-some-year-old man who wasn't getting a meal but every other day. So share some of those things that you've been like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, when I first met Barry, he told me you're entitled to this, that, and the other, okay? And I looked at him like, you know, when we go to Barry, you know, and I can testify for me alone, most veterans are broke. And when I say broke, I don't mean it financially. I mean we're just broke down. And when you get to him, after you finish with him, one session, 45 minutes with Barry, you are so encouraged. And he looks at you and smiles and tells you, I love you, man. And those words, you walk out of his office a new person. What I found with Barry, the things that veterans are entitled to, first of all, we have a program called the VASH program. This is taking veterans that have been through the system, came out of the system, when I mean the system, I'm talking about the military, and came out, could not further themselves along in life, found themselves in shelters. Well, since Mr. Obama has come in, they've put this VASH program together, as veterans that are getting Section 8, they're put into these apartments, mm-hmm. you know. Now, this is across the country. It's across the country. Right now, they don't have any more. As of right now, by beginning October, some new vouchers will be coming down. Veterans.
New what?
New vouchers. New vouchers,
okay, vouchers
for these veterans will be coming down, and we'll be able to issue them. When Mr. Obama was first went into, he was just elected. He wasn't even in office yet, okay? He didn't take the oath yet.
Can I stop you for a minute? And
yes.
I'm going to stop you just because you and I have spoken and I know some details. These vouchers are still out there for the vets, and they have just stopped issuing them for a time being. There are still vets that are looking for housing.
Right,
and they have a certain amount of time before that voucher is no longer valid.
Right.
So that it's just a short period of time that these vouchers are not being handed out, but they're still in the process of making sure that they have a building sites, apartments that are available for them during this
particular
time
economic period. Condition. Yeah.
Yes.
Between this economic condition. But they have issued let's say New York gets a lot more vouchers than most places, okay? But New Jersey has their share, North Carolina has their share, Iowa has their share, Texas has their share, okay, mm-hmm. of these vouchers. And it's up to people. They're not going to come to you. You have to be in one of the programs, one of the shelters or whatever, but you have to go and seek this information out. If you are a retired veteran, a veteran that's in some sort of trouble with shelter, and or you're staying with family members, whatever the case may be, these vouchers are out there. You will have to go to the VA, find out how to obtain one of these vouchers. You'll be then put on a list. You will be then given a caseworker or a social worker who will work in your behalf to get you situated in an apartment. Okay? Like I said, before Mr. Obama took the oath of office, he made sure this was in play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, because of the economic situation, these vouchers have, you know, they have cooled down a little bit. But October, we expect some more, and we'll be able, so far I know, we've housed, out of the program that I work for, and this is not Veterans Quality of Life, but this is another program I work for called the Torch Program. We have housed 360 veterans out of that program alone, and it's a small program, okay?
Okay.
So that's one of the benefits. The educational benefits. Not only for your children, but for you to be retrained. And I think it's important in this particular economic situation, this economic climate, that people get retrained, not sit back and say, okay, my job is out or what have you. Now you have the internet. Go get trained on computers. You know, there's no lack of jobs, you know. And like I was told to me today, big business is back. We may not see it, but they're back. It's just a matter of a couple of months, half a year, you know, and they're going to need people that are trained to come in and do these jobs. So that's one of the benefits I did not know was still, because I took advantage of my college, but because I'm now a disabled veteran, had two operations, which you very well know, I'm entitled to getting retrained again.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. That's another thing. You know, you just need, well, with Veterans Quality of Life, what we do is we provide food, clothing, winter or summer, air conditioning for veterans, free computer. If you go for this training, you get a free computer.
Get out of here, man.
Nope.
Can you fake me some paperwork? No.
But these benefits, to me, even as Michael would share them with me, and I mm-hmm. would be kind of blown away by them too, my whole thinking was that this is someone who served in our military, and they did that for Vicky. They did that for me.
Absolutely.
You know, so I don't think that there's a thank you or a benefit that is too much. There, Mike, will you talk a little bit just about some of the like transportation, cell phone?
Well, yeah. If you, and this is attributed to if you're a disabled vet, you're going through to go get hospital services, your doctor's appointments, if you're going to a PTSD class, if you're going to see a psychotherapist or a psychiatrist with depression, if you're going to dermatology, if you're doing any of these various things, if you reach a certain percentage, okay, and I now have, they pay for you to go back and forth to the hospital facility. These are things they will not tell you. I had to maneuver through that by just going into one office. It's called travel office. And update my paperwork. Once I updated my paperwork, I came outside and I said, Vicky,
Yep. Got to call immediately.
I am now entitled to come here, and they will pay everything.
Yep.
Back and forth.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know?
They should.
And this telephone.
You know, but they will not. They will not know. They will not let you know. Now,
right.
You get a free cell phone. 250 minutes in some programs, other programs 100 minutes, you know, but you're privy to that if you're a disabled veteran, okay? They want to make sure that you can call 911, not to lollygag on the phone with your, you know, but at least your loved ones can get to you. 911 can get to
you.
You
can make
your
appointments. Yeah.
Make your doctor's appointments. Your doctors can get to you. Yeah, you know, they want to get you there quickly. Get a free cell phone. I mean, the perks are just ridiculous, and I'm learning more and more.
Right.
You know, day by day. You know, as I'm helping other individuals, as Barry is sharing information, because he's right on top of it. And, I mean, we have a whole library. You know, we have a whole library at our headquarters full of information. Housing, if you have SSI, SSD, if you put in for that, we have attorneys through Veterans Quality of Life that will make sure that you get it first time around, because it's very discouraging first time around. Everybody says, no, you can't get it the first time around. Hey, we make sure you get it.
Will you touch on that too a little bit, Michael? How long have you been on this journey with an adjustment with your benefits? How long ago did you start this?
Wow. I want to say 2008,
mm-hmm.
was it?
That sounds
right. I want to say 2008, because my injury started to act up, so it might have been 2007, going into 8. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it was. And by the time that they told me that I needed surgery, Barry was on it. So from that point, now 9 months later, as I was recovering, you know, I was looking for some money, because I had gone through my money, Ricky knows, you know, trying to figure all this out. I was looking for $10 to travel to the hospital.
Wow.
And I called my bank to see if the $10 was in there,
mm-hmm.
and they told me the figure that was in there. I hung the phone up right away, and I called back. And they said the same figure again. I got up 5 in the morning. I went over to the bank with my ATM card, and I withdrew money. Then I came home, and I called Barry. Because what they do when you put a claim in today, if you receive an approval 9 months from now, that claim from today is retroactive from today.
Mm-hmm.
So, Vicky, I tell you, I'm telling you, I put on tennis shoes and I ran there and I ran back. I had
$10. I tell you what, man, that's the, you know, and there are so many people. I did my best to welcome 2734. Welcome to the room. You know, I did my best to alert as many people as possible. Well, I think 2734 has been in there, but anyway, I will do better next time. I have to just learn how to navigate the site a little bit better. But may I ask you right now, if you don't mind. Would y'all guys come back again, and we'll do this again? Would that be okay?
I would love to come back. I'd love to give you more information.
Right.
You know, I want people that know veterans, that are associated with veterans. I mean, I know guys that are out there right now, and they don't really feel that this is real, you know?
Right, right.
A lot of them come into Barry's office and see the line,
mm-hmm.
and they leave. Impatient.
You're right.
But what he does works. Reason being, he knows the language when submitting this stuff to the VA. Now, what he's been doing every Tuesday night is he's taken a group of individuals, because there's no way possible for the government to fulfill 1 million, over 1 million, you know, claims.
Right.
But he's been training people through classes. I mean, this man never sleeps, you know.
Right.
His wife is at his side. His daughter is at his side. I've seen it. The seminars, I mean, he never sleeps, and he wants to make sure that these veterans are taken care of. You know, he's the only man that I know of that has three Purple Hearts, and he's never gone to battle.
Wow.
All these guys have given him their Purple Hearts.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, these guys have given it to him because he saved their lives when nobody
wow.
else cared. Okay?
Man, that's tremendous.
He's made it able for them to live with dignity and promise. And now they're thriving, and now they're helping individuals. Well, all it takes is one hand to reach out. Yes, one hand to reach out, bring one along. That one take bring two along. That two bring four along. That's all it takes, you know. So I would be more than happy to come back, you know, give you some more information. You know, I just want veterans to be taken care of, because I'm in the middle of this now and I can't get out of it, bro.
you know, and Vicky, I'm so happy. I mean, she, you know, she pretty much bosses me around. I mean,
yeah, you and me both. Don't feel alone. Don't feel alone.
You know what I'm saying? She's just like, you know, a little baby sister or a big sister or something. She just bosses people around, pushes people around and whatnot. She sent me a script.
A little baby woman, too.
And I'm just deviating all over the script. You know, I don't know what the script was all about. Heck, she sent me the script. Now, this is what you need to do. And I'm like, yeah, right.
Well, I'm going to tell you, she, you know, when we spoke, because, you know, I speak to Vicky almost every day, you know.
Right, right.
We're just great like that. Love Vicky to death.
Right.
One of my best friends, okay.
Right.
She's been through this journey with me. That's why she knows so much about it.
Right.
You know, but she will tell you. You know, and I'm trying to get her, some of her family members that have in this situation,
mm-hmm.
right,
to come aboard, you know, because, see, they're young people that have been in war. They've done, one of them has done three tours in Iraq.
Wow.
One has done two tours in Iraq, okay?
Wow.
They are
wow.
entitled. They are entitled. Now they're out of service. They are entitled, okay?
And they're lost.
And they need to know the information, so they can make their lives a little bit better, you know. Because I guarantee you, that nobody's going to come to them and say, hey, you know, this
right.
is what you're entitled to, you know.
Michael, what
so,
has your journey been like? What are some of the things that you've gone through to get to this point?
Wow. Aside from the...
You've already stated.
Aside from the operations?
Well, you said that there's tons of paperwork that needs to be filled out. They send you to just to find out where you are, to see therapists, psychologists.
Oh yeah. I mean, you go. This is the whole process. You know, if you go see Barry Campbell, if you come see me, we're going to tell you the whole process. We're going to tell you to get registered at your VA, at your local VA. You being a veteran, you are entitled to free medical for the rest of your life. That's one. You being
now,
a veteran.
Does that include your family as well? I don't know about that.
That does not include your family.
Right.
Okay?
Not even a spouse?
Not even a spouse. Now, this is how it works. If you become 30, 50, 60%, now it includes your spouse.
Okay.
Once you become, you know, a little higher up on the echelon, you know, in the percentage, now your spouse gets included, you know, because they consider that person as, deem her or him as being a custodian of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once that, you know, and that's what we try to strive for. When somebody comes through Veterans Quality of Life, to get them as high up the echelon as possible so they can get the most benefits, you know. And these the most benefits are going to make your life more, much more pleasurable.
Right. What's due you? But can I interrupt just for a second and ask you a question? Also?
Sure.
Now, you know, I'm in Texas, right? You're in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can civilians be trained to be to assist?
That's who's doing it now.
Okay.
That's who's doing it now. You know, they have nothing but outside contractors doing this.
Right.
That are hired by the VA. They go to an office. I don't want to name the street.
No.
In Manhattan, but there's offices all across the nation that civilian contractors go to daily and fill out this paperwork or read this paperwork as it's brought into them. And then they take it to another individual who's supposed to be a little bit more astute at understanding the problem of each veteran. What the process is that you have to get a primary care person. You know, this is your doctor. Once you get a primary care doctor, what that doctor does is send you to all the specialists that you, and it's very similar in real life, you know, civilian life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they send you to the specialist, whatever you're complaining about, whether it's dermatology, whether it's, you know, your mustache is too long, whether, you know, whatever it is, you know, they send you to that specialist. In some cases, with war veterans, it's PTSD, so they'll send you to a psychologist or a psychotherapist or a psychiatrist. Okay? In some cases, you'll get both. According to how you request it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will be sent to a chaplain. They still have chaplains on some of the, you know, in some of the VA facilities. That person starts to leave keep a record of what your visit was all about.
Right.
And that, you remember when Mr. Obama was talking about a universal health care and everybody's health records being in one place?
Right, right.
Well, that's the way it is with the VA. You punch in certain numbers attributed to me, everything medically comes up. And that's what he wants for civilians.
Mike, let me ask you this. Now, I got there down here where I am. It's real sparse. You know, I mean, it's like up there where you are. You know, the facilities are kind of close. It's like in Dallas. You know, the Veterans Administration is right there in Dallas. And if you're in a close proximity to Dallas, or I think Houston, I'm not really sure where all they are. Out here where I am, there's one in Big Springs, Texas. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but anyway,
how far is it away from you?
It's about. Two and a half hours away from me. And
might as well go to Arizona, right?
No.
Okay, I'm only kidding.
There's not a Veterans Administration in Abilene, is there? Because there's a United States Air Force Base there, Dyess Air Force Base.
Well, what I'll do, I'm going to obtain, since you posed that question, I'm going to obtain a book that has every VA in what city, wherever, next time we do this. So if you have listeners in whatever place, they can call in and say where is the nearest VA office. Because if something's 2 hours away, you're not going to drive 2 hours just to get this book.
No.
You're not doing that, you know?
No.
So, you know, that's the difference between being here in New York. You know, I have one, two, three, I have five VAs around me.
Exactly. You know, now here's what I was getting at is that in Big Springs, Texas, I don't think there's one in Abilene, Texas, but what I've seen happen is there's guys that live in communities say anywhere from 2 to 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys have to request, you know, can you take me and they have you know, individuals, you know, that in the community. And I'm talking about in our community, and they'll ask them, request, you know, would you take me to the Veterans Administration? And a lot of these guys suffer because they don't want to impose on anyone. And you know, I mean, there, you know, and you were, you know, what you were saying a minute ago, it struck me too, that you said about a mustache. You know, now there are guys who, for all intents and purposes, with a prescription and a visit with the proper medical individual, whether it be psychologist, or you know, that have a chemical imbalance or whatever they may be, that can get provided something that, and it could be a mustache that really drives that person, you know. And I mean, I'm being real honest. I'm not trying
You'd
to
be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Am I right? You understand what I'm saying?
You'd be surprised.
And once those guys get taken in and they get the proper treatment, then they become whole, and then they can reason and reckon with life as they see it, and you know, rather than, you know, being out there and being taken advantage of, because these guys are, I mean, you know, the military guys, I say, now I'm being a civilian and I've never been in the military, 58 years old, but you know, I'm a guy, man, if I'm hurting, I'm going to find out what's wrong with me.
That's
but
right.
A lot of military guys that I know, one of the reasons that they were is because they don't have to, you know, I don't have to go see. I don't, you know. And
yeah.
And once that, you understand what I'm saying? And
oh, yeah.
Because
I mean, I was one of those guys.
Yeah.
Until I was put on my back, I was one of those guys.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was just fortunate. You know,
right.
I was just fortunate that, you know, I was just fortunate. That's all I can tell you. You know, right now, your listening audience or anybody, they can't give me enough colonoscopies. Okay, they can't give me enough. I want to know everything that's happening inside this body now. Okay,
and you deserve to. You know what I'm
saying?
That's
right. I mean, right now I walk every other day. About 3 miles,
wow,
one way, and I walked 3 miles back. Vicky, I tell
wow.
you, you know, and I do it with ease now, you know. So
excellent, man.
Hey, man. You know,
I'm so thrilled. I could just hug Vicky, man, and hug you, brother. I mean, you know, one of the things that we do, and Vicky knows, she's, like I say, we've had rooms, and in our room, you can come in there and you can complain about anything you want to complain about, right, Vicky?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is she there? You can complain about anything you want to complain about, but when you get done, just give us a solution. We don't want to hear a complaint without a solution. Am I right, Vicky?
Yeah.
And she has, and I don't want to butt in. I know she sounds like she's getting mad at me over there, but.
Stop it. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, she wants people to get this information because
oh, yeah.
I do.
And I'm going to say this one last thing, then I'll get quiet again. Let me give out the number if anybody wants to give a call. 347-945-7040. And we're talking about veterans benefits, the veterans quality of life. What is the S for? A for? Veterans quality of life.
Access Network.
Access Network. Better is VQLAN. VQLAN. www.vqlan.org. And we're talking with Michael Francis, and he's in New York City. And I will not divulge the whereabouts of Vicky, a.k.a. Nadia.
Living room. I'm in the living room.
Anyway, I'm off the mic. I'm quiet again. You guys, go ahead. Thank you so much.
Can I explain something to Michael?
Please.
Michael, there with Zern's blog, there's also a chat room, and for some reason I'm unable to be active in there, or I would have put the web page in there. I guess I didn't register, but I can see.
Okay.
But I would just like to say to the listeners that if anyone had a question for Michael, that Black Ice or I would be more than willing to read that question to Michael.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
right. Any questions? And if you don't have the answers, Michael, I'm sure that we can get them and get them passed on.
Whatever question they ask, we can get answers for.
Right.
Anything to help veterans, that's our premise in life right now. We're on the verge of doing something, you know, well, Vicky's been privy to this. We're about to do a free concert for veterans.
Oh, man.
And
And
it's going to be veterans playing for veterans.
What, say it again?
It's going to be veteran musicians
playing,
performing for other veterans and their families for free.
You know, I got a brother that I'm going to tell about this. I'm going to tell him about it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm listening. I'm sorry.
We have a lot of things on the horizon that we're getting ready to do. Some I can mention, some I can't, you know.
No,
but
I understand.
There's things that we're doing, and, you know, it's to make this situation cohesive for veterans and their families. Because, see, something like that, a concert people are going to come out to, now we make them privy to the information.
Right.
Now they can get all the information they need. You know, we set up tables. They can listen to music all day long, but they're getting the information, pertinent information that they need to carry with them to make life better for their families, to make life better for their children. You know, I can't tell you what a gift it would have been, you know, my daughter going to school and getting a stipend every month.
Right. Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, that was a struggle in itself. Well worth it, but it could have been eased up if I had the information. So our thing is to provide the information to these veterans, make sure that their families have a very smooth segue into, especially their children, into their adult lives, you know.
After the sacrifice that they've made.
And this is something Mr. Campbell's putting together, right?
Exactly. You know,
yep.
Barry's doing it.
And showing his dedication.
We have some other individuals who, I mean, there's a gentleman by the name of Mike Abbott, first African-American vice president at MCA Records, signed Michael Jackson and Nipsey Russell to that movie The Wiz.
Wow.
He's a veteran.
Mike, what's his last name?
Mike Abbott.
A-B-B-O-T, okay.
Okay. I mean, I can't tell you some of the individuals that have gone on to further their lives that are now ready to give back, you know, because they've done what they had to do, but now they see the plight of what a veteran goes through.
Right.
So they're, you know, they're joining Barry, and they're doing what they have to do, you know, and they're bringing their talent as well as their resources.
Wow. And okay. may I ask you this now, again, whenever you get ready to do it, if Vicky hadn't, she's going to do her thing, I think. I'm not sure. But if she hadn't done her thing by then, or if she has, it doesn't make a difference. Both of y'all can still come back if you don't mind. But
sure.
Would you know, you probably have a site and 1-800 numbers, because I know some, and I was telling a friend of mine, ladies down south today, if she would apprise some of the people that she associates with, because I think quite a few of those guys are vets. And those guys travel. They a lot of these guys are CBers, and and, you know, we were talking with you about that the other night.
Right.
And these guys have a close knit network, and I'm beginning to see that probably one of the reasons is that there is that underlying. Not only do they have an interest in the CB, because that's, I used to be into that deep, but anyway, not only do they have an interest in that, it's because that association is veterans. They have an understanding of each other that we may not be able to, as civilians, have that depth of understanding.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, please, if you whenever you begin to get ready to do that, because I'd like to make a contribution or some contributions, and also the number, the, you know, 1-800 number if you have one, and also the site if you have one, or it'll probably be on y'all's site.
Well, we don't have an 800 number. We have a 212 number.
Right.
That I can give to you. We're in the process, because everything is coming out of pocket from Barry.
I'm sorry?
Hello?
Mike must have dropped off. But I hope he gives a call back. Let me look. Let me look. Nah, he's still on. I can't hear him, though.
Me either. I'm not sure.
Right. Oh, boy, and it was, that was, he was getting to the crux of the matter right there.
Right, and he's not going to know anything because we're listening, you know, so.
Right.
Oh, shucks.
But that's okay. You know, what we'll do is if it's okay, I got, this will give me a chance to do this right quick, Vicky. Hopefully, I've contacted a brother. You know him, T.L. Harris.
That
I think I hear
familiar.
Mike on the back. But, Mike, we can't hear you. If you give a call back, Mike, if you'll hang up, I'll hang you up. And let me hang him up, and then you can give a call back. I'm going to hang you up, Mike. But give us a call back, and I'll put you right back on. But, Brother T.L. Harris,
mm-hmm.
You still with me, Vicky?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Anyway, Brother T.L. Harris, hopefully he'll be on next week, and we'll be taking a stroll down with some musical history. And
okay,
if not,
yes.
I'm hoping that he'll be here, and because you know this guy is very knowledgeable about musical history as far as different groups and different companies and how they were initiated and he's an interesting guy. I really like this guy, and I'm not going to tell you how old he is because I want you to just check him out. This guy is deep. And have a good time with him. And, you know, I've had several people come through, Brother Olai and a few others, Brother Sabatai. And I can't leave out. Let me just throw these names out, Vicky, right quick. Ladies Down South, Teach Pepsi, Platinum One Love for You. And I don't want to leave anybody out that have a Black Magic Woman. That have come through at different times, and I really appreciate them having been here, and they've been tremendous in their support and encouragement, and I really appreciate that. And we got Texas Maid in the room there. Welcome, Texas Maid. I'm gonna see if Mike's back.
I'm also sending a text message in case he's hanging out there and doesn't know that we don't hear him.
Well. Dang it. There. Mike, can you hear me? Wow. Can you hear me, Mike? Ah, shoot. Calling on there. See, it never dropped his number off. It kept his number here. So I'm looking at his number and your number. I guess, let me see. Wait. Oh, no wonder. Here's how I do it. There, I got it. I hung up that time. I had been muting his mic rather than hanging him up. Maybe he'll give a call back.
Okay.
Because hopefully he will. But anyway, I'll be watching out for him. But anyway, little lady, now what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I said that I had sent him a text message just in case he's talking and doesn't know that he's not connected. So hopefully he will see that and call back in.
Let me ask you, are you going to come back one of these days and talk about genealogy or not?
I would love to talk about genealogy.
That's Michael. Hold on, here he is. Mike. Michael. Hello? Can you hear me, Michael? Dang it. Something is wrong here. Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, something.
I put him back online, but I'm not hearing him. Can you hear me, Michael? Ah, dang it. Hey, bro, I tell you what. I'm going to hang you up one more time and give me a call back. We'll try it again. If something is wrong, we can't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were saying about genealogy.
I would love to.
Are you going to talk about
I would love to. When I started my genealogy 5 years ago, my family, after I was into it about a year, would run from me, literally run from me, because as I would try to figure out how I was going to find family, I would get excited just with my new method. So
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they often would, they would run for me. Yes.
Wow.
They all wanted to reap the benefits of my fines, but...
Right.
Yeah, but just in brief, while we're waiting for Michael, one of the most interesting things that I found was my great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandfather in a community that had been rioted upon, if you will. And
wow.
The little clippings that I found, it wasn't very, very detailed, but it just listed their injuries. They had been shot. They had been beaten. And it gave their name. Yep. The year that this took place. Do you see his number?
He's back, but I can't get him on. Michael, can you hear me? Dang it. You know, let me see. There may be something I can do here. I just have to get accustomed to this. Let me try something right quick. I don't know that this will work, but I'll try it anyway. Mike, can you hear me? Hello, Michael. Now, we can't hear you. Dang it. Wow.
But you see his number that he's logged
right,
that he's called in?
Yes, I see his number, I see his number and I see yours and I can talk to you, but and you were the one worried about your phone going
right.
Off, you know. But you know, Michael, if you can hear me, we can't hear you for some reason. Let me see. No, I can't. Oh no. I might have messed up. Whoa. Whoops. I hit a wrong button here. But what were you saying, Vicki? You found your great-great-grandfather and your great-great-great-grandfather?
Yes.
Michael, if you can hear us, just break in at any time. Now he hung up again. Okay, cool. And so they were involved in a riot?
Oh, Black Magic Woman, I would love to visit with you and just tell you how I got started. Well, you know what? I'll just share that little story right now. My aunt on my father's side, I was telling her that I wanted to start this. And she said the first place that I should start was the cemetery. And I questioned her about that. And she said, well, Vicki, that's where you're going to get dates. That's where you're going to get some valid dates from. And that's where I started. The day after she shared that with me, I went to the cemetery where I knew that my grandmother and grandfather, I thought my grandfather was buried, and I stepped into the office, and the lady pulled out a book that I needed to look up their names so that I could find the lot that they were buried in, and I took it back to her, and she was going to show me a map. And when she showed me the map, she said, oh, I can't use this map. And she pulled out a different map that was color-coded. And in doing that, she explained to me that even in death, we were segregated. And so from that moment on, I was on fire, totally on fire.
Wow.
But there's, if you have a library card, that would be a huge place for you to start. Through your library, you can access their Heritage Quest, is what it's called. Heritage Quest.
Wow.
And that
Heritage Quest. Q-E-S-T-I-R-T-I-R-T-I.
Yes, and that has a listing of all the senses. Of the census.
Right.
If you have a genealogy society that's in your area, I would join that. I joined them, and the fee was very small. I think it was $25 for a lifetime, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
And it gives you access to state census, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the best census of all times is 1925, okay? That's a state census, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And that census has questions on it that no other census before or since has on there. So you are able to get information on, from that one census alone, you're able to get information on your parents or whomever you're looking for, whomever you put in there for your search, and you can find them.
Right.
You're able to get information on their maiden names, okay, their parents' names, and their parents' names. No
right.
other census has that. None whatsoever. Most censuses from that point on were very limited in the amount of information that would show up on the census form. The other thing that I would do would be to get a census form if you can. You should be able to find those online, but a blank census form, because you're looking at 1925, yes. And if you wrote that some time ago, I'm sorry, there might be a lag. But most census, if you need to go get blank forms, because these census forms that you are looking at are, what are they called? It's called microfiche? Is that what it's called? Microfilm.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they're...
Yeah. Bugging me. He's back.
Is he there?
Go ahead, yeah, go ahead with the microfiche. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know what? His
hand's
not raised like yours is. And I'm wondering, did he press that right? Don't you have to press a button when you call in, like a one?
Yes, number one. But he was successful the first time.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. But, you know how it is.
And this microfilm is a picture of a sheet of paper, okay? That's what you're actually looking at, is a picture of a piece of paper. And the other thing, Black Magic Woman, another place that I would start would be word of mouth. Gather as much information as you can about the family members that you're going to look up, and I'll give you an example of why. My great-great-grandmother, her name was Alice. They called her something else. I don't even remember right now. But the other name that they called her was how I searched for her. So when I would look for information on my great-great-grandfather and look for them together, I found them together, but under the name Alice, which I didn't know was her name. Because word of mouth, family told me she went by this other name.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found her in the household with my grandfather, I'm thinking, oh, my God, my grandfather had another wife, another whole family.
Oh, wow.
So it's real important to talk to family. And I gathered that information and printed it out and everything. But, you know, my thoughts were, you know, no one has shared this information with me about great-great-grandpa, that he had another wife. You know, so word of mouth
oh,
is
really?
Very
it was
important.
Serious, you know.
No. It was a mistake, because I thought her name was this other name that I was given that they called her. It must have been a nickname. Okay? And so when her actual name showed up in the household with my grandfather, then I thought I had ran into this huge revelation about my great-great-grandfather. So, and the other thing, Black Magic Woman, is in word of mouth. Like when I look at census forms and keep a timeline, extremely important. I mean extremely important. I cannot even stress how important a timeline is. One of the things, there's also sites where you can go to, and people have taken those microfilms and typed up versions, all right? My great grandfather, his name was Dave. And on a couple of the forms, they have his name as something different. Same age, same date of birth, same birthplace, in the household with his siblings and his parents, but they named him something else with a D. I don't remember what right off. I want to say Don, but I can't say that positively. So the timeline is going to be extremely important, and in tracking, they're usually one of the things that I also noticed with my great-great-grandfather was that they had his birth year. It varies from form to form, from year to year.
Now, wait, are you saying F-O-R-M or F-A-R-M?
It changed. His birth year would change on these different senses. Okay?
Form.
So,
F-O-R-M.
For example,
okay.
Like in 1880,
right.
They have him being 30. Okay?
Right.
We jump to 1900, and they have, according to the year that he was born, they have him being 35. And we know that's not accurate. Because
okay.
if he's 30 in 1880, then
right.
he should be 40 in 1890.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But, again, you have to, that's another reason why you need to talk to family members. You'll know who's in the household, who should be there with him.
Right.
And one of the most difficult things to do is really pay attention to every name that is in that household. It is not that uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And more than likely, it happens, you'll see it happen quite frequently in the census forms that family members are naming their children after their siblings.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Now, hold up. Hold that thought
okay.
right there. Because what I want you to do right quick, we got a couple minutes, is to give her a brief overview, if you could, if you don't mind, a summation of
what we share
know,
with Michael.
We'll get Mike back and some, you know, we'll visit with him later and
okay.
just about what the show covered today, if you don't mind.
Not at all. Okay. The guest was Michael Francis, who lives in Brooklyn, New York. And he was sharing the benefits that that vets are entitled to. And in sharing those benefits, he shared that they're entitled to food vouchers, housing vouchers, phone vouchers, medical, education, benefits for their children, their children's education. One of the things he shared was that they received, his daughter could have received a stipend had he known about this earlier. I had shared the benefits that my mother received because my father was a World War II vet. And upon his death, then, you know, she received monies for each one of us children. He give a site that people can access of a gentleman that is helping him. His name is Barry Campbell, and his site is www.vqlan.org. I've not been on that site for some time, but I'm thinking there has to be a number there.
Oh yeah, there's a. A lot of information. Let me interrupt you right quick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once again, and thank you so much. You got to come back, all right? Like I said,
okay.
Brother T.L. Harris is hopefully be here next week, and I think I'm hoping that Upfront and Blunt will be here in a couple weeks. I'm not sure. I'll try to firm up that date. And after that, then we'll be looking. If you have any suggestions, send me an email at blakicz, all one word, one, blakicz1 dot blakicz.1@gmail.com. Okay? And 10 seconds to go. And welcome to Black Ice and Friends, the next phase with Miss Vicky, a.k.a. Panadia, and Michael Francis. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again hopefully next week at 7 to 8:30 p.m. CST, the next phase with Ice and Friends. Vicky, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.
It's been a blast. Thank you. Thanks, chat room. Talk to you guys later.